everything. We have played at home plate several times at Dickie Stevens Park. We played the Star Spangled Banner. If you can imagine anywhere from 5 to 9 accordions at home plate playing Star Spangled Banner. It's on YouTube. You can check it out. Now, as far as having my own studio, I'll tell you how that came about. When I had 50 students and I was at capacity, there was no other way, and most of them I had sold accordions. There was no really further growth for the accordion operation except to bring in another teacher. Marty brought in another teacher. His name was Lee Allen. He was a consummate professional entertainer from Vegas. He married a Little Rock girl, who, by the way, grew up just about a block from where my store eventually was. Her name was Deidre. And Lee was talking about opening his own studio. And we'd go out to the corner drugstore at 7th and Main and eat. And Lee and I were down there one day, and we were discussing what it would be like to have our own studio. Well, I had just gotten married to my dear wife of coming up on 55 years.
Congratulations. Connie.
She was taking piano lessons with the piano teacher at Rosen. And this is how I met her.
Okay.
That's another story. But Marty, somebody told him that we were talking about opening our own studio. So we had just, my wife and I had just gotten married the previous September. This was, well, we'd been married about a year and a half. That night, he calls me up and he says, "I hear you're talking about opening your own studio." And I said, "Well, Lee and I had a conversation about what it would be like if we had our own place." He said, "Well, I think you ought to do it."
This was who told you this?
Marty Rosen.
Wow.
He said, "I think you ought to do it. I think you ought to go down and get your stuff out of the studio tonight." And I said, "Okay." So, drove down to the, parked on Main Street there. I had a key to the, out just to the stairway, passageway up to the studio. Went up and got my, we had to carry my desk down the steps. It was this little metal desk. And all the stuff. And we loaded it in the back of the car, and we drove back out to Camac. And we pulled up in the, our driveway, which wasn't paved. And I said, "Well, what are we going to do now?" And she said, "We'll think of something." That's how it happened. That's how it happened. And I called my students. Most of them wanted to keep taking from me.
Right.
And so, but I couldn't bring them to CAMAC, to
right.
my house. It was, wouldn't, it,
right.
you avoid the, even the appearance of impropriety.
Right.
So I rented a space on 12th Street, 2801 West 12th Street, with an old grocery building. It looked like one of the old Western buildings with the false front.
Okay.
And but I could afford that. It was $75 a month. But it had high ceilings. And it had two little, it had been a dressing, a dress shop.
Okay.
And the dressing rooms became our studios.
I gotcha.
There were 3x3.
Wow.
Ray Bell came to join me.
Wow.
In 1963, within my first year.
And when you first started out, it was just a studio where you taught students, right?
That was basically it, but I had some display space, and I had my choice. I could either keep sending my students, and I taught guitar too. I could send my students to another music store to buy, and they were all downtown. There were four music stores within.
Right.
About 2-block area.
Right.
Or I could get a catalog and order wholesale and start doing a little retailing so that I would have my student supplies on hand, strings and picks. But I had to prove I was a business in order to get a dealer catalog. So I got me, I'm pretty much running out of money here, okay? Because I didn't anticipate there would be city licenses to pay and fees here and there. It pretty much tapped me out.
Right.
I wound up building all my own fixtures out of
wow.
3/4-inch plywood and finishing them, and they looked pretty good. I didn't have any stationery, so I got me a package of typing paper and a rubber stamp, one of the kind that you take the little letters and insert mm-hmm. them into the stamp
right.
and make to have a letterhead stationery.
Okay.
So I stamped the paper, and I stamped some blank number 10 envelopes, and I sent out several of those to David Wexler and Company in Chicago, St. Louis Music in St. Louis. A few people that I knew were wholesalers. Mm-hmm. Well, David Wexler sent me a catalog.
And that's how it started.
And I ordered $45.12 worth of strings and picks and one student guitar. And that night I remember having trouble sleeping. I thought, what am I getting myself into? I'll never sell that much stuff.
That was a recording taken from our Butler Center Oral History Collections, an oral history interview with Arkansas musician Mr. Bob Boyd. For more information on this and other oral history interviews, please visit butlercenter.org. That's butlercenter.org.
You're listening to Radio Cows, KABF 88.3 FM.
Now we'd like to play a recording from our Butler Center Music Archives, a live concert by the Wildflowers, recorded at the Cowles Ron Robinson Theater in 2015 as part of the Arkansas Sounds concert series produced by the Butler Center. For more information about Arkansas Sounds, please go to www.arkansasounds.org. That's arkansasounds.org. The Wildflowers are an Arkansas collective that features singer-songwriters Amy Garland Angel, Bonnie Montgomery, and Mandy McBride, along with band members Bart Angel, Nick Devlin, Brent LeBeau, Jeff Robson, and R.J. Looney. Here are The Wildflowers in concert on Radio Cowles.
Always So much. This is just so cool. Thanks everybody for coming out. Well, it is now time to bring out our sister, very
I think
special
we're both,
angel.
Yeah, we both get to introduce this next lady.
Yeah. Y'all give it up for our sister.
Formally.
Miss Amy Garland.
No, seriously, what about this band? Mr. Bart Angel on the drums back there, he's the cute one. They're all cute, but... Jeff Robinson on the fiddle. He's slumming with us, and we'll take it. Mr. Brent LeBeau is on that doghouse bass over there. So good. And last but not least, Mr. Nick Devlin. Softly falling, Indian summer kind of night. Harvest moon slowly creeping up the sky to hang alive. Saw your name in a gypsy drugstore. You were selling things, you were selling lies. In the jar last winter, filled with ashes that could burn all with you all evening in your mansion on the hill, up the stairs where the lonesome valley it sings of change, it sings of will. Rain is softly falling, Indian summer kind of night. Harvest moon slowly creeping up the sky. Hang light. Rain is softly falling, Indian summer kind of night. Harvest moon slowly creeping up the sky. Hang a light up the sky. Hang a light. Thank y'all so much. My sissy here, Bonnie. She's my sissy. And we do a lot of porch sitting, Mandy and Bonnie and I, and playing music. And it's a lot of fun.
First time she called me sissy, I thought she was cutting me down.
Yeah, she did.
Like, why'd she, why'd the girl in the bar call me sissy? I ain't no sissy. And
she
then
did.
I realized she said, well, you're like my sister because I don't have a sister. And yeah. So now from now on, she's sissy and I'm sissy. So
yeah. It's funny. I was like, why is she calling me sissy? I'm
not I was offended by this.
You're kind of the last thing from being a sissy to me, for sure.
I have old school values up here, you know. You call me a sissy. I'm like, what do you want? You want a shot of whiskey? What? What?
You want to fight?
Yeah, you want to fight?
Well, absolutely adore having these girls around me, and they're so inspirational to me, and get to sing with them and pick with them and live life with them, and I appreciate that. And then these fellas back here, we brought our super group with us because we each brought, yeah, give it up, man.
They're awesome.
They're killing it tonight, and they have to put up with a lot. They do. Nick
yeah,
says
well,
that's
so do
true.
We. So do we.
Yeah, we do. We were trying to get dressed back there, and they were like, "They're
yeah." Just,
we're like,
yeah, "Woo!"
Just need to put some pantyhose on. We,
yeah,
y'all
just
can leave
second.
For
they're
a
like,
second.
How long do you need? How long do you need to put some pantyhose on? Well, I don't really know. I don't time it every day.
Well, we appreciate y'all being here, and I'm gonna play a few more songs, and then we're gonna take a short intermission. And this is a song I wrote for my husband back here. He's the drummer, and I married an angel, and he is on most days. Some days he's not, but he brought me. He took me to Nashville one weekend, and he lured me to the Grun Guitar Store, and he. Said, but they got a bunch of good left-handed guitars over there. You might want to go check them out. And I played a few, and I played the real expensive ones. And I was like, oh. And they brought this old Martin over there to me, and it was probably one of the cheaper ones. And it just felt like butter. And I was like, that's my guitar. And he went around there and bought it. And we got home. We stopped at Loretta Lynn's Hurricane Mills, and I bought a lampshade for $5 that used to be in her house. Like her sisters, her family sells off all her stuff. It was crazy. Yeah. I bought a t-shirt that said, I know Paul C. DeBuff personally. And then on the back it says, hi, White Lightning. And it's signed by Loretta. I was like, okay. Get home. And he had asked me to marry him. And he said, I know you didn't want a big rock. So he hands me this guitar. And he says, will you marry me? And I was like, if I say no, do I get to keep that guitar? And he's like, nope. So I said yes. And here's the song this is, I guess, my gift to him and a song I wrote as my gift back. Thank you. sea. Will you be my shelter when a storm cloud's following me? Will you wake me up gently? Will you let me run free? Will you hold me when the night time's got its hold on me? Will you be there when the last song sings itself to sleep? That's what I need. That's what I need a keeper, no house built on sand. I don't mind going deeper if there's a soft place to land. Now I don't mind waiting all night long just to hold your hand. I don't mind falling over and over again. Will you be there? That's what I need. That's what I put the world to bed. We said everything that ought to be said. Well, I can drift off slowly, lying in your arms, and hold my breath till the morning comes. And will you be there when the last song sings itself to sleep? Thank y'all. From our Angora record, Angora Mountain up in Stone County, where we get to play and take care of this valley and this beautiful part of the world, and it's called Between You and Me. Well, I was never asked to dance in three-quarter time. My hands on the wheel. Well, I'm gonna drive for a little while. Now the moon's gone behind the clouds. Light ahead, it's done gone now. And it's just too dark to see. Guess this is how it's gonna be. I guess this is how it's gonna be between you and me, between you and me. I guess this is how it's gonna be between you and me, between you and me. When the sky lights up the dawn, I won't be the last to leave, and I won't be the last to show. I have a hard time fitting in, I have a hard time letting go. I guess this is how it's gonna be between you and me, between you and me. I guess this is how it's gonna be between you and me, between you and me. I guess this is how it's gonna be. I guess this is how it's gonna be. I guess this is how.
That was a portion of a live concert from the Butler Center's Arkansas Sounds concert series by the Wildflowers. This concert featured singer-songwriters Amy Garland Angel, Bonnie Montgomery, and Mandy McBride, along with band members Bart Angel, Nick Devlin, Brent LeBeau, Jeff Robson, and R.J. Looney. For more information about the Arkansas Sounds music series, please go to www.arkansasounds.org. That's arkansasounds.org.
You're listening to Radio Cows, KABF 88.3 FM.
Hello and welcome to Take 5, where we take 5 minutes and shine a spotlight on the artists at our upcoming events. Today we shine that spotlight on Arkansas musician, author, photographer, and filmmaker, Tav Falco. Mr. Falco will have the United States premiere of his new film, Urania Descending, at 7 p.m. on Thursday, January 21st, at the Ron Robinson Theater, located at 100 River Market Avenue on the Main Library campus in downtown Little Rock. This film premiere is free and will be followed by a discussion with the filmmaker. For more information, please visit arkansasounds.org. That's arkansasounds.org.
Tav, you grew up between Wheeland Springs and Gurdon. What are some of your earliest Arkansas memories?
Well, I grew up on a farm between Wheeland Springs and Gurdon, and there are some impressions that will always remain with me, kind of first impressions. A possum at night hanging by its tail on a low-lying limb of a pecan tree not far from the house. We lived on a little gravel road going up to the farmhouse there. The sound of the Missouri Pacific train going through the Missouri Pacific River bottoms at night. That lonesome sound of the whistle and the clickety-clack sound of the wheels on the train tracks as it passed Barringer's Mill out in the forest. That's the sound that put me to sleep at night, was that passenger train rolling through the forest at night, and somehow it was a cozy feeling.
It tucked you in.
Those are my childhood memories. Also, there were panthers, or more accurately, bobcats, in the woods around where I grew up. And occasionally they would howl and hiss. They had a very, very loud hissing sound, unmistakable.
You're not only a musician and an author, but also a photographer and a filmmaker. When do you feel that your career was beginning its ascension?
Well, I left Arkansas and moved over to Memphis after I got out of school because I wanted to learn filmmaking and photography. At that time, if you left Arkansas, you would either go to Dallas or you'd go to Memphis. I thought of New York, but that was like going to the moon. Someone who grew up in Arkansas to go to New York City, you're really not going to the moon. So I decided to go to Memphis because of the draw of the country blues being played within the city of Memphis, jazz music being played there. This was in the 1960s, during a very turbulent period, and there was the Memphis Blues Festivals held in Overton Park Shell. And there, a lot of country blues was played, and blues bands were playing too, blues bands of the city. So I was drawn to this. I was drawn to the music, which was in the air in Memphis. And, you know, the culture of Memphis is really Arkansas and Mississippi, even more than Tennessee, I think. So I was drawn by the music. I was drawn by the artists, the sculptors, the photographers, and the filmmakers living and working in Memphis. And shortly, I got to meet a lot of these artists. And that was the beginning of a practical formation in my development. So it was a process of exposure, John. Exposure to other artists, a process of association that got my work going in a focused and expansive way.
In light of that ascension so far, what are some of your personal and professional highlights?
Well, musically, now, you know, I work in pictures, I work in films, and I work on stage and in recordings. I think musically, one highlight was appearing at Foundation Cartier in Paris in 2009. One day, in 2009, I was offered an invitation to bring my band to Foundation Cartier. I didn't ask for it. I didn't solicit it. But it came about through this process of association. And for me personally, it was a kind of milestone, a sort of validation, what I've been working toward in some way. I mean, we had appeared at the Barbican Center for Music and Art in London as part of a month-long Memphis focus. That was wonderful. And there have been a couple of other highlights, but Foundation Cartier meant a lot to me. We played once at Teatro Principal in San Sebastian in Spain, and we had a whole evening there. That was earlier in my career in Europe. I would say those three events have had a lot of import for me personally and for the group.
Tao Falco, thank you for joining us for Take 5 today. And don't you forget to join us and Tav next Thursday, January 21st, at the Ron Robinson Theater for the United States premiere of his film, Urania Descending. And it's free. For more information, please visit ArkansasSounds.org. That's ArkansasSounds.org. Radio Cals is a production of the Central Arkansas Library System and its Arkansas History Department, the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies. For more information, visit cals.org and butlercenter.org. We had production help this week from Anna Lancaster, John Miller, Chris Stewart, and Kate Shagnon. Voices by Jasmine Job and Stuart Fuel. Engineering and editing by Michael Stotz and Anna Lancaster. Our production manager is Glenn Whaley. Our executive producers are Leanne Blackwell-Hoskin and David Strickland. For Radio Cows, I'm John Miller. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week, Friday at noon, here on KABF 88.3.